tsunami spread too thin, and they're trying to fight battles on all the fronts. It doesn't make sense to keep doing that, because each one will be lost. I'm not suggesting it's a war, but, I mean, it is. I have said that. It is a Cold War, it's in essence. But, you know, in terms of the tactics to respond, you can actually take a look at that and say, well, how does this work? What I'm saying is that there's everyone's out on so many different fronts, and that's been intentional. I can't tell you how much comes across a chief's desk, you know? And then they have to rely on a handful of people who, again, don't have the capacity and skills. No disrespect personally. It's just they've never been taught. Those tools aren't yet available fully. It's difficult to do. So since it's not those tools, those weapons, if you will, are not fully functioning, not available, don't just stand there and hope that they somehow will work, right? Or what you have will work. Throw stones, right? Ultimately, that's not going to probably be most effective. Come back together. What does that mean? Getting back to the community. It's a community level. Strengthening, coming back together, starting to share what they understand of the situation. And counteracting, most importantly, this concept or thought or feeling, and this is the hardest part, Deb, that they've been defeated, that there's nothing they can do, that it's all over. It's just starting. It's far from over. You know, it's, and that might not be encouraging for people, but it ought to be, because it's like that Hollywood set, you know. You look at it and you think it's this incredible mansion set up or a big town setting, and you look behind it, it's just propped up, it's cardboard propped up by a little thing. That's what they're facing. So they need to blow on that. They need to push it down. They need to knock it over. And the way they can do that is together and saying just simply who they are, what the reality of it is, the fact they haven't given consent, the fact that they don't know of these things, but they have heard that this is a potential problem with it, and that they can assert, no, we don't want to be extinguished, assimilated. We don't ask for that. We are not asking for that. Even if our chief has said this is what we want, we, the people, have not asked for that. We have simply asked to remain who we are. This is what we feel we're entitled to. Here's what's wrong with this picture. And they need to come together on those sorts of things first. Next steps follow after that.
So does that mean, like, that when they try to implement that, then a community should come together and assert that, no, we didn't agree to this. No, we won't let you get away with this. Like, for instance, in Gansatage, like, is that what that comes to? Is that instead of trying to deal with the legislation, like the tripart policing agreement, to just say, no, we will have community policing. We will keep ourselves safe. We won't let another nation's police into our community telling us what we can and cannot do.
Well, and they have done that. I mean, they have kept police out. Now, unfortunately, media has painted that in ways that don't reflect what they're actually doing at times. But lately, they've actually had their voice heard. You know, they have been doing a lot of work in coming together as a people under their protocols and saying, this is who we are, this is what we're doing. I've raised the question, it was unclear to the world what was the reality. What is this, something they wanted or didn't? You know, I was getting mixed messages from looking at the record. They have since come forward, and it's very clear on the record now that what has been happening there. And so with those kinds of things, yeah, I mean, if you're going to be keeping a police force out because not you're worried about policing, but rather what authority is there to have done this and to have this authority shift because it's implications for a people, for sovereign self-government, then what can the community do in terms of policing? Can they call in someone else? You know, and that's when you turn to within the Mohawk community, within relations and allies, and saying, we need help. And when that call comes out, those communities need to help. That's what I'm talking about in terms of coming together, not just the local community, but truly, if you say you're sovereign, truly, if you say you're a people, then you realize it's not just 200 or 1,000 people located in one spot. You're part of something bigger. You may be very, very decentralized in terms of your lives and control and government, and that's fine. But the reality of it is, you're part of something bigger. And what is happening too much now, again, because of having to defend on so many fronts, that the kind of support that the nation can give, the turning inward to solve problems within the nation, because as soon as you take those problems out into a domestic court, you're saying to the world, that's all we are. You know, that's where we go to solve our problems. We're not self-governing. We can't solve our own problems. We admit that. We're going to have to put it here and see if this court will do it for us. Now, that sounds unfair and harsh, and I appreciate, you know, the intensity of those situations. But the exercise where I say pulling back and coming together, it's that. It's you turning inward. Where are those resources to solve your own problems? Starting to focus on that. And that doesn't take money. That takes time. There's lots of people with time. There has to be this switching up of saying, gee, I've got time. I can get together on this meeting. I can get informed. I cannot just say, well, I'll leave that to my chief and counsel because they're the ones that are paid to know these things and do these things for me. These attitudes need to be worked on individual basis, community basis, and a national basis. And while there will always usually remain some internal disputes, political, theoretical, philosophical, religious, that's all to be expected within nations and peoples. That happens all the time. How are those things going to be resolved? People need to start looking at their own resources. It demonstrates to the world also that self-government is still functioning. It still does exist. It isn't just gathering dust in the corner, you know, that everyone's forgotten about. It is, in fact, working. So what people can do is look at these opportunities, look at these situations as opportunities. That sounds kind of perverse. But maybe what it's saying to them is you need to not just sit back. You need to do something. And what does it mean? What is it that needs to be done? It's not necessarily picking up a weapon and saying, okay, I'm going to protect my house. It's a much more difficult task, and that is to indeed engage in the self-government that exists, to indeed appreciate what does it mean to be part of a people, of a family, where are the responsibilities, what time, what energy, what resources, what sort of skills do people have? Because most of this is about people, not money, people, their time. Will they take the time to learn? Will they take the time to talk, to listen to each other's attitudes? You know, will they most importantly deal on the insecurities, the fears, all these things that are triggered by this kind of activity? Does this chief have this power? Only if they believe he does. Will, in fact, he control a police force that will come in and gun them down? There's always a risk of that kind of thing happening. Will that be permitted in this world society? I believe no. I believe those kinds of things, if they were to happen, have such serious consequences on Canada as a whole, on investment, on corporate, you know, confidence, all these sorts of things, that it's not going to happen. But when you're looking at those uniformed policemen and they're holding those weapons, or you're looking at the assistance coming in from military, it doesn't look too comforting. You know, and I appreciate that, and I've also known people who've been through that and have seen that. So that, how are people prepared to handle those situations when this ugly, ugly mask is presented to them? Are they going to scream when they open that door and someone says trick-or-treat, or are they going to laugh and pull it aside and see it's just a little child that has no power over them? You know, this is the difficult thing. That's where the real challenge and effort is needed. That's such a personal level. And that's not something as a lawyer I can advise on. But I can advise that strength is what's critical in terms of getting past and through this next little time. And once past that, the rest of the stuff falls in place, because it's very easy for someone like myself or others that will follow to move things forward when they can clearly point over there and say, look at those people. And you're telling me they're not there? Just go look. And that's what the exercise is right now. But if you point over there and say, look at those people, and say, what people? I don't see anything. I don't see anyone. All I see are, you know, these documents here and this legislation here. It says something else. There needs to be something that you can point to that shows these people are there. And what are those things? Sometimes it's just a one-page letter. that sent to the Queen, the Governor General, Lieutenant Governor, these sorts of things, and paper trailed all over the place. And it's kept, and it's not kept and buried in the backyard, which so oftentimes happens with documents, you know. But it's becomes available to the public, to the world. And that's why a lot of the effort right now is in putting in place infrastructure for administration of governance, not feeding into federal government systems, et cetera, but actually having a place where these things can be parked and looked at and seen and realize that, okay, it's time for these people's governance to become much more accessible and visible. And that's another big effort that's underway. So the coming together, the strengthening personally, the rediscovering what it means to be a nation, which goes beyond a local community, they're the ones with the language, and they can do it in their own language. If there's a confusion about wording, we don't want to get caught in the trap of terms that lawyers and judges have defined. Use your own language. Find someone who speaks the language, who can say it simply. You don't need 20, 50 pages. One paragraph might do. That's why another reason I won't go into court, because I'm not the person to do that speaking. I cannot be a spokesperson or mouthpiece in matters of Indigenous constitutionality and an Indigenous self-government, because I'm not of those people. So if you're going to be clear on this stuff and you're going to start to function in understanding its reality, you got to be consistent.